Excuse me while I go to the bathroom.
You sound like
a buffoon. Lock the door.
Should I pause it while you go to the bathroom?
I don't think so. It's a laid back episode.
All right. Oh my dear Just God. Go to the bathroom.
Okay. Let me know if there's a bike in there.
There is. I turned on the heater.
Somebody actually brought that up on the live stream.
You know what bugs me? When people leave the podcast right in the middle
Tom's
of
the straight up worst
of the episode.
Just kidding. He's the best.
And welcome to the Outpost Podcast. I'm shoved in here with a couple of crazies.
Back in the barn.
Back in the barn once again.
I've blocked the door with my body, so there's no escape. I am the gatekeeper.
There's no escape in the barn.
As you know, we've got myself, Lacey, here today, and the regulars.
Mark.
Okay.
Standard Tom.
Standard Tom.
D-Lock in the house.
D-Lock in the house. Blocking the door.
Yep. Gatekeeper.
Well.
Now I'm stressed. I was not. And now I'm feeling like trapped in the barn.
Can't get out.
Yeah. I would like to say that we're really excited to be here today, but I'm going to be honest. We're exhausted.
That's a fact.
Last night, 6 p.m. or so Pacific time, we closed. It was the end, the finale of the second printing Kickstarter campaign for Vindication.
All right.
And let's be real, that took a lot out of us.
Yeah, and probably even more so just the past 5 weeks, right? The 3 weeks of the campaign and the 2 weeks of prep it's like working two jobs, just that alone. So we kind of just didn't feel it because we were pushing through and surviving. And then at the end, you're kind of just like, oh, I've got 5 weeks of momentum pushing me down into, you know, exhaustion.
Mm-hmm. We all got to Cova Coffee this morning in Portland at like 6 a.m. All of us except Derek.
Except
you. And the first 5 minutes or so was just kind of this awkward sitting, staring at each other with no words coming out.
Why are we here?
That's why I didn't show up. I just knew.
So Tom, how are you doing? This is your first Kickstarter you've been a part of that you've actually been a part of creating and collaborating on. So how are you feeling after we're done with this?
Everyone's just spent. It's one of those things where you're incredibly excited and you're just full of joy and energy inside, but then like your body just doesn't have it anymore. You know, and so people will come up and be like, oh my gosh, and so excited and wanting to celebrate with us, and you just flat do not have the energy to like fake enthusiasm anymore. You're just like, I'm very excited. I mean, it's like Captain Holt or whatever his, you know, you know, I've never felt more emotion, you know? it's impossible to express it. And we're tired.
Mm-hmm. And Derek, with your first time being like more involved in the campaign this time, how was it for you? How did you enjoy going through the process of being a part of a Kickstarter campaign or crowdfunding campaign?
Yeah, kind of the first one, like I was kind of on the outside, kind of looking in a little bit. I mean, I was part of, you know, Blue Blazes and, you know, and supporting Mark in any way that I could and what have you. But, you know, overall, I wasn't involved in the community all that much. But this time around, you know, I kind of put myself a little bit more into the community, and it was fun. It was great. You know, I think I really felt it yesterday, you know, all the love
during the live stream.
Yeah. And it's cool just to interact with people, you know, that are just as excited as you are about something that, you know, you've worked really hard on. And so that was super exciting, and that was really gratifying and rewarding. And the cake was super good too.
It was.
I did not get cake last year, so I got cake this year. But yeah, no, it's really exciting. If anybody ever has the opportunity to be a part of, you know, a Kickstarter, it's very exhausting but exciting experience.
How was Kickstarter? Well, this time I got cake, so
yes. That's
the
takeaway.
Super
one.
Good. The cake was great. Kickstarter review positive.
And Mark, kind of, what's your reflection on this campaign? You know, we've gone through three Kickstarter campaigns together, you know, one that we canceled, one that funded well, you know, and we were really excited about. And now this third one, you know, reflect on this third one a little bit for us.
The coolest thing about this one is I wasn't focused on the product. I wasn't focused on the game. You know, there was an effort put out to try to introduce new people to it, but we have enough content out there by reviewers and bloggers and whatnot that we could kind of just easily refer them to answer questions. We got to focus a lot more on these journeys and engaging with the active community, people who had backed the first time, people who had bought the game in retail. For me, it was all about the journeys and creating kind of the experience of the campaign and less about the product.
And it seemed like people really responded well to it and really enjoyed it too.
Yeah. And listen, so much credit goes to Tom on this. He kind of masterminded the whole thing. You know, we did work on it together, but quite honestly, he did all the writing.
The original idea was Derek's.
That's really? Right. D-Lock.
Yeah.
D-Lock made that whole thing happen by planting that seed.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more boring than going through a campaign for weeks at a time, knowing that you've pledged on day one and, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
We owe it to ourselves to, if we're going to create things, to, you know, create experiences as well as products. And mm-hmm. so I know that I had a lot of fun working with Tom on those.
It was
and,
fun.
You know, like I said, he wrote, you know, 90% of that. And, you know, what an amazing engagement we got too. I was very mm-hmm. surprised at how many people just came out of the woodwork and came out with crazy cool ideas and concepts and names.
Well, you get a part of, you know, in shaping the game itself, the product mm-hmm. that you're going to get. Like, there's something super exciting about that.
I will still go back to, I think one of my favorite moments in it was when you started to ask for poems and sonnets, right? And yeah. and when somebody commented, come on, you don't want us to just put a link to YouTube or something? You know you're talking to a bunch of consumers, huh? And like the pride that swelled out of me when I was like, he just doesn't know our community, you know? Like, oh, he just hasn't been around very long, you know? Yeah. Just to know and look at that and go, it's not a community of consumers. This is a community of active, engaged creators who are enjoying what we're creating too. And mm-hmm. I don't know, that was kind of a proud moment for me.
For sure.
Okay, well, let's take a few minutes and talk about, I mean, what's going on a little bit in the board gaming crowdfunding industry. There's a topic that we talked about a little bit at coffee this morning, and I wanted to give Tom and Mark an opportunity to hit on it here.
It's hard because we've had our blinders up, so that we haven't seen a lot of what's going on right now. But one topic that seems to be coming up more and more lately is Kickstarter's canceling
mm-hmm.
and
like campaigns canceling.
Campaigns canceling and relaunching or just flat out canceling.
Mm-hmm.
And the more it's more of a hot button issue if they've already funded.
Mm.
Funded being kind of a nebulous concept because, you know, I think it's open secret that most campaigns don't ask for what they actually need to get a product produced. And so the discussion is this bad for the platform?
Mm-hmm.
Is it bad for board games? Should these creators feel guilty in some way? Like, is anger at them justified, or does everyone just need to calm down? You know, and Facebook has a lot of opinions all over the map on that subject.
Yeah, it's pretty, I think, polarizing. I mean, when you bring it up into the light, it's really easy to kind of cast judgment or maybe throw ideas out about why a creator may have chosen to run the campaign the way that they did or cancel a campaign. And having been in both sides of that, I can tell you that there are way more reasons for canceling a campaign and relaunching it smarter than I think most people realize.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy for me at this point to sympathize with a creator who goes through immense learning when they launch a campaign. No matter how prepared they think they are or how prepared they really are, you cannot possibly prepare for everything that's going to happen in a campaign. And so, yeah, there was one kind of significant one that was running while ours was running, and they canceled it.
After it had funded,
yeah. So they funded on day one and then started bleeding, losing backers every day. Mm. People were leaving the campaign, and so there were a lot of discussions about, you know, what the responsibilities are for the creator to prevent that. And you know, number one, I don't think the creator can prevent someone from actually pledging and then leaving. Mm-hmm. Like they have no agency over that. But as is generally, I think the case, if a campaign cancels and comes back with a much more organized, well thought out, planned, strategized campaign the second time around, they usually do much, much better because they listen to the community and they come back with a better plan. I don't think there's a downside there. And so I sympathize a little bit on the creator side, having been on both sides.
And Tom, how do you feel about that comparatively?
In pretty much all things in life, like I think about the people, mm-hmm. you know, and so I'm pretty sympathetic person. Everyone thinks about Kickstarter in this different light now, but Kickstarter isn't a store.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time, the people that we're talking about, like this is a passion project, hobby for them. You know, these aren't professionals,
right?
You know, and so of course it's reasonable to expect that they're going through a learning curve. And quite frankly, I think it's responsible to look at the situation and say, okay, we planned this poorly. We're not going to be able to deliver on these promises with the money we've claimed. It's like, yeah, we're funded, but we're not actually funded. We've crossed this arbitrary line that we set, but we're not going to be able to deliver on this promise. It's more responsible to back out, regroup. This is one of the parts of the, you know, is Kickstarter a store thing that we really all need to, as consumers, remind ourselves that, like, this is about getting people's passion projects made for many of these projects. And, you know, think about it a little differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I come from a background of digital marketing, right? Of search engine optimization. And any time that organizations learn how to trick a system or trick a platform, eventually that platform has to change in order to create a better user experience, right? And so it's only going to take a few of these, in my opinion, over a period of time to cause the change in having an accurate funding amount.
Part of this does fall on Kickstarter's shoulders because, you know, once you are funded and you're a percentage overfunded, the Kickstarter algorithm for how you show up in their search and where you show up on their listings is affected by that.
That's so exactly what I'm talking
they're
about.
They're incentivized to fund quickly and mm-hmm. fund highly. Mm-hmm. And then on the same token, you know, backers think of that in the same way. It's like, this place is funded. Like, this is, look
it's
at the momentum.
Same idea. And that's in SEO when people used to buy backlinks in order to prove that their website was more legitimate, mm-hmm. but all that they were doing was buying the, it's mm-hmm. a fake use of the algorithm.
Like buying followers or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the creators should be blamed for trying to operate inside a broken system that they have to operate in to mm-hmm. succeed at. You know, it's like, yeah, these are artificial numbers, you know, so people are trying to make their dreams come true inside the context of the current moment on mm-hmm. Kickstarter. And so, and then when they cancel, everyone's like, well, the whole opinion that, you know, well, their funding number was too small, or mm-hmm. they were gamifying the system in this way, and they were gamifying the system in this way, and they need to be held accountable for that. And yeah, a little bit, but also, you know, the system is gamified. You know, we as backers have culpability in this too, because we're asking that and demanding that, and then when people do it, we get frustrated with them. You mm-hmm. know, it seems a little.
Well, I'm curious to see how the platform will change over time. You know, mm-hmm. due to these kind of things.
Yeah, just on the note of making assumptions for what motivates a creator to do, you know, to cancel a campaign or create a campaign, I think it's dangerous. I think you should at least wait for that creator to respond and answer the question about why they made the choices that they did, because there's probably a few things that you don't see on mm-hmm. the surface. I can tell you that from experience. Our first campaign, we canceled, I believe, after we were funded.
Before.
And was it before we were funded?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we weren't funded. Okay. So there's a little difference there, but we probably would have funded
mm-hmm.
and it was not about money. It was about a number of other factors. And most of it had to do with really not doing a very good job communicating in the campaign so that people had an accurate view and could make a better informed choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a learning curve there. It is very common now for campaigns, first time creators to cancel and then go a second time, sometimes a third time.
Because they're not professionals and they're learning. Mm-hmm. I think the idea that backers have been betrayed in some way is something we need to all get past and get over, because they haven't actually gotten any of your money. Mm-hmm. You've expressed an interest in the thing they're trying to bring into the world, and they said, hold on, we need to regroup. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not expressing an interest doesn't mean they now owe you.
Yeah.
We need to regroup is exactly the right way to say that. Somebody getting their act together and coming back, I think that's commendable. And you know, how embarrassed was I the first time when I had to cancel the campaign? Hard. And at the same time, we focused on, you know, how can we listen to mm-hmm. what people said to us all this time? Mm-hmm. We addressed those things. We came back. We listened to the advice of the industry influencers.
Yeah, you reached out.
We filled in the mm-hmm. gaps. Yeah, I did reach out mm-hmm. a lot mm-hmm. to people in influential places and said, hey, where could we improve? What do we need to do? Mm-hmm. And we still, even the second campaign, which was very successful, we lost a ton of money because we made another mistake with mm-hmm. the, you know, on the back end. I made the mistake. And so, you know, it's taken us, you know, this is our third campaign. Mm-hmm. It was very successful. Gosh, it was painful getting here. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's okay to say, I mean, that's just part of the success process. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost more proud because of the failures than I would have been if we would have just hit it really hard out of the gate. I'm almost more proud that we regrouped, that we learned a lot, that we worked as hard as we did, and we were disciplined and listened to the community. And I think creators are going to be very successful if they do that, even if it takes them a few tries.
There was one question last night during the live stream that kind of bleeds into this, which was the idea of, okay, if you're about to start some big new project and, you know, you've got some big adventure on your horizon that you want to start, how do you get the courage to do it? You know, what's your advice moving into that? And one of the things that came to me a bit last night as I was reflecting on it was just getting used to working in tandem with discomfort. Okay. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like just understanding that no matter what you do, it's never going to feel awesome when right. you're always going to be working with your fear and with whatever pain and discomfort comes with growth. And if you can just get used to the idea that you can coexist with that discomfort, then you're going to be able to continue taking the steps that you need in order to be successful over time.
This is why we love you.
Yeah, that's great mm-hmm. perspective.
That's a Dang. Fantastic Yay, perspective.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it could not have been better said. That's accurate. I mean, to do anything significant, you're going to face very difficult, dark, draining challenges. And if you don't have the grit and the wherewithal to pull together everything that is within you and lean on other people mm-hmm. and be vulnerable, it's going to be very difficult to get to the top.
Yeah.
And if you are willing to just get in the dirt and the mud and scratch and claw and be embarrassed mm-hmm. to get there and don't worry about that, And you just, you know, keep your motivations pure. I think that's when the payoff is at absolute highest, is after you've gone through that. Mm-hmm. The victory is so much sweeter.
Mm-hmm. So some of the things that we've been getting feedback on about the podcast when we sent out the survey was that people really enjoyed just us, you know, palling around together, which is great because we're exhausted after the campaign and we're pals.
And we're around.
Yeah.
And so
some of us are more around than others. Yeah, I know.
So Tom jokes. You know, round is a shape too, so you're in shape.
That's right. Thank you.
That's an excellent point.
I'm glad I can be included.
So Tom and I kind of talked a little bit and we thought, okay, let's spend a little bit of time on today's podcast episode. Just venting. So this is the question, the overarching question that I'm posing to the whole group today. What bugs you? Okay, this is like an open-ended question about in your life, what are these inconsequential things that drive you freaking crazy? Okay?
Oh, no.
Well, I'll tell you my first, you know, so this...
Here we go.
The
buckle up.
Do I need to unblock the door?
Actually, you might, because I may need to go to the bathroom in a minute.
Uh-oh.
That's a different kind of unblock.
It's funny because we had this conversation. It's like, you know, this was
He's readjusting. How's the intestines?
You know, this was something that that I, you know, suggested that was actually my wife's idea. Mm-hmm. And then we had a conversation about it. And we're like, yeah, you know, that's a good thing to do on a day when we're all exhausted. And then I couldn't think of a single thing in life that annoys me.
Okay.
How much that annoys me. So I think that's something that really bothers me when mm-hmm. I can't. Because I think my thoughts all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I have so many thoughts until I need them, and mm-hmm. then they're gone. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like a buffoon mm-hmm. just staring at whatever it is. I feel like I'm going to have so much to say about this in 3 minutes, you know, but right now I've got nothing. Uh-huh. You know, yeah.
Because I'm a modern human, which means I'm the worst and I'm annoyed with myself.
Oh, no.
I just did this.
Stop.
Random Google search for things that are annoying.
Are you serious?
Yeah, just because. And so on this list of things that are annoying.
That's annoying to us.
So,
Give me my ideas on there, because then I won't feel original.
Well, there's things you expect. It's like, oh, junk mail, or having to wait in line, or, you know, slow internet connections. And then muggins.
That is annoying.
I mean, yeah.
That is annoying.
Raise your hand if you've been mugged, Lacey. You have? Two, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have not been mugged, and I'm happy about that.
My brother got mugged.
But I'm real sad that
Lacey got mugged. Tom got mugged.
Mm-hmm. I got mugged by a drunk guy,
people look
though,
at me, and they're so like, that dude's got nothing.
Well, we balance it out. We are the balance. Perfectly balanced.
There's a balance in the force.
Mm-hmm.
That comment's more entertaining watching you wobble back and forth on that stool.
Wibbity wobbity wibbity wobbity wibbity wobbity.
All right, Derek, what annoys you?
Oh, gosh, I just had one.
What bugs you, Derek?
Traffic. Traffic bugs me. Like,
okay.
Trigger!
Okay. Trigger! Let me.
What bugs you about it?
The waiting doesn't bug me. The sitting there, as long as it's moving, I'm fine. But it's the moment people start to act like idiots.
Okay.
And they want to go. So people going fast when they should be. They don't drive the speed that the traffic permits.
Okay.
And they weave in and out because they're going to cause an accident, and it's going to cause me to be late.
Mm-hmm.
I got another one. Bridge lifts.
Ooh.
So here, for everybody who's not from the Pacific Northwest, I-5, Interstate 5, which is like the main freeway. Through Washington,
it connects California. Canada to Mexico.
Yeah, it's exactly. Huge. It's yeah. very long. But there's this bridge that connects Washington and Oregon, and the first span was built in 1912. Yeah. But there has to be bridge lifts if the water level is too high or if the ship is too tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just ridiculous.
Just messes with everybody's day.
Yeah, oh my gosh, traffic is just jacked. And mm-hmm. then you're really just sitting there. And then that can start to kind of grate on your nerves a little bit. But
you know who else is bugged by traffic?
Hold on, let me.
Don't let him have his moment.
Let me segue this one.
Okay.
Because the gold mine we've happened upon, where the thing that annoys Derek are people who have an extreme overreaction to bad traffic and start behaving irrationally and with anger.
Uh-huh.
I see where this is going.
Anyways, Mark, what annoys you?
I see where this is going. You know,
but I love Mark.
You don't want to drive behind D-Lock. Let me just start with that.
Oh, I do not drive like a grandma.
Oh, dear God, no, because they go way faster than you.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No. Compared to you, my goodness.
20 miles an hour.
Lies.
12 car lengths in front of Derek.
That's complete and utter lie.
Okay.
Erroneous. Fake news. Erroneous in all counts.
I'm proud of your safety, Derek. The roads are better because of you.
Well, it's not even like, I feel like I'm a pretty not aggressive driver, but I don't really drive defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm like a good medium. I'm a good driver.
What do you listen to when you're driving?
Show tunes. Period.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Especially in traffic. Makes traffic go by real fast.
Maybe I should take that medication.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I asked you today. A
little dose of musicals.
When Mark was angry in the car today, I'm like, do you want me to turn on some music? Like, what can I do?
How can I stop this?
And then he still was yelling at somebody. And so I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to disengage for a minute.
No, I'll agree with that.
The problem is mine. The problem is real.
You just got to, like, okay. Patience. People who don't have patience also kind of really annoy me.
Here's the thing. I have multiple personalities because I get out of the car and I'm like, I don't know who was driving, but that's not
chill.
Me.
It's chill, quick, dude. The trigger.
That's
quick.
Not me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's quick up and it's quick down.
I have a problem. I'm in the program now. The first step is admitting you have a problem. I have a problem. I have 11 steps to go.
You know, do you know the second step?
No.
Show tunes. Show tunes. I'm telling you.
It's show tunes.
But for real though, like you just sing and like you just have a good time. Even if you're a bad singer, it doesn't matter.
Actually, yeah.
It's super relaxing because then you just focus on singing and
science fiction novels.
Show tunes are an answer to a lot of things in life. Yeah.
And like when I say show tunes, I'm not like listen to The King and I or like
Hamilton.
Yeah, like Hamilton's a musical. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good musicals out
if
there.
If you don't have the Moana soundtrack in your car, your life, I question it.
Yeah, I agree.
Your quality of life is...
Mm-hmm. Just self-regulation is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
So, in general.
Yeah.
It's a great concept.
I said at the beginning, and this is true, I really do try very hard to stay happy in a good majority of my life. So I install little triggers in my thought processes.
Happy trigger.
Like every time that I start getting annoyed by something, I have a trigger that says, like, I am grateful for, and I will continue on that statement, you know, because whatever it is, if I'm waiting in line for lunch and that's irritating, I am grateful that I have the ability to get, you know,
right.
I've installed that pretty well and it works 80% of the time, and the other 20% of the time, I'm cold.
Can I install that on my hard drive?
I don't know how it works.
I need that.
But it
program.
Really does.
I don't know if it's compatible.
Are you still looking at a list of things that annoy people?
Oh my god,
it's entertaining me. It's the list is dating itself.
Well, you know,
coverage of Michael Jackson's death. It was on there.
Yeah, that's old. Okay. MySpace annoys me. Why is it still here?
That's a good question. Like, who's keeping it running?
If anybody's on MySpace, please tweet me.
Some
at Derek Locke.
It's their space.
I want to be on somebody's. How many top eights could I be on? Could I be on a lot of top eights?
Yeah, like how many people still have me in their top eight?
Uh huh. That's what I'm wondering.
I'm curious. Well, Tom and I were. We how did we end up on MySpace?
Top eight
in the
first
place?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
What is top eight?
Oh, recently.
Recently, we were just on MySpace.
I don't remember how it was. I don't even know what top eight is.
How do you end up anywhere?
Did you ever have a MySpace?
Let me pull my walker over so that I can hear you.
Explain to him what a top eight
is. I don't know
is.
What a top eight is.
First of all, you'd have a little rascal scooter because a walker's way too slow for you.
Fair enough.
So I'll give you that.
Get out of my way.
There you go. You never had a MySpace?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, MySpace was like a social media. It was like the precursor to Facebook and like the successor to like
point, though.
GeoCities and what was the other one? People something?
I don't know.
People.
Friendster?
Friendster. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Wasn't that like a teenager platform?
I mean, it was mostly.
Okay, so I wasn't a teenager at that point.
But it was still trendy
old.
To have one. I mean, like Facebook was also like the trendy teenage spot, right? Or college, whatever. But
so what's a top eight?
My top eight?
No.
What is a top eight?
Oh, so it's probably the cause of a lot of breakup of friendships and breakups in general.
I would say.
Because you picked your top eight friends to put on your profile
in an
order.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How destructive is that?
So if you went from like two to three.
Okay, I'm just going to answer the question why MySpace is not around anymore. It's because of that.
Yeah, it destroyed itself.
And because it's ugly as sin.
It was.
That didn't help.
And you get on there and somebody
ugly.
Have an
that's
awful
so
song.
MySpace.
Somebody just have like an awful song. Playing.
Oh, that's right. Songs would play when you'd load people's profiles.
Uh-huh. Oh, it was also like super moody,
like
kind of like I'm sad songs.
Like MIDI renditions.
Like all emo?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm. But,
I know what emo is.
Yeah.
I got points for that?
I know emo.
That's a whole.
Everybody had an emo
we could
stage.
Have an old. We could have a whole argument about that because I bet what you guys are calling emo is...
Probably different.
Not the real emo.
Not the real. Oh
emo.
Dear God! Oh, I don't. I'm not, okay. There's another thing on my list.
Yeah. So
okay.
Yeah, MySpace is
that's
something.
A good one.
Rites of Spring.
I just feel like it just go away.
Yeah.
Go away.
Somebody archive that.
Right.
Put away.
Like let's
put
remember for what
cabinet.
It was.
Yeah.
And not this Frankenstein. Like it's a music.
I
want to
follow up on this
now.
Emo thing. I'm thinking.
Did you have an emo face, Tom?
Right. Talk to me about emo. What's emo?
Okay, well, I don't
you sharpen your nails.
Smith is emo.
I don't
am,
get
I, am I wrong?
Too into that. So, but it, so the original use of it.
Oh, jeez, I
nope.
love it when
all
you start
right.
this way.
All right, we're getting
too
philosophical.
No, I'm gonna back way off and just real quick.
the original use of that word was for a completely different type of music. Okay. It was not like this sappy, emotional, like tender punk crying dashboard confessional music. It was much more screamy punk rock stuff. Mm-hmm. And the word was totally co-opted. And so there was a while there where people who formerly like enjoyed this completely different type of music, and they would say like, oh, I like emo bands. And then that word came to mean something radically different, you know? Mm-hmm. And then people would be like, oh, you like emo? And then you'd have to explain like, yeah, but the not other kind of emo. Right. Yeah.
Like, and then, there's pop emo, and then but, there's like old
but they were so emo. Radically different. I mean, that's like saying that, you know, Kendrick Lamar is country music, right? And then all country, and then but then they just is so different that you like can't even, and it just was stupid.
Okay.
Anyways, end of.
That annoys that. You.
You found yeah. something that
good
annoys
job.
You.
Good job,
you. Tom.
You know what annoys me is people not hustling. Like in a work context, I had a lot of jobs that involve physical labor, and it's like if you're at work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could get all mad about this and start sounding like a jerk. But
now I'm going through all my mind about all the times I was on Facebook. I'm like, what was Tom thinking about me?
I think about that when I'm driving and Mark's behind me. What's Mark thinking about me? Because I think he would say a lot of angry, annoyed things.
No, I appreciate you just the way you are.
Okay. Except when I'm driving.
Now, there's a different person.
Well, everyone's a different... Yeah, apparently we're all multiple people when it comes to driving. Like, people become expendable in Mark's world when you're in a car.
Listen, we gotta thin the herds.
Expand on your hustling.
Just kidding.
Hustling thing. I mean,
just
I mean, cut you
kidding,
off.
Kidding, everyone.
I just... I don't know.
People have no drive.
It just... I don't understand how people can like handle themselves to like be at work, and if the job is move these things from here to there, like
how they can,
and then just
kind
of like do it gloomily, really slow. It's like just come on, get it done.
My wonderful Grandma Mary would always say, because she had to do a lot of work when she was young. Okay, and she would always say, I could mope around saying, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? She goes, but instead I could say, look at all that I'm doing. Amen. Look at everything I'm doing. And that's wisdom.
Well, maybe that's the thing that, well, that's something that really bothers me about society in general right now is just like buckle down and just crush it. Turn into a machine and get something done and feel proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't like just be resentful that you have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just... I don't know.
Yeah, we could crack that one wide open. There's there's a big issue there. I agree. Have some pride in yourself, right? And in your own work ethic, and work. Do something. If you're going to do something, do a really good job. Do it well. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. And to complain and be lazy about it, and to go really slow and gloomily, like you said, everybody suffers, not just you. There's a whole another. But I think some of these things have to be learned.
You know what bugs me? Rules. Period.
Like rulers?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Slide rules.
Yardsticks.
When people try to tell me how to do something or what not to do.
Do people make that mistake?
Yes. Ouch. Occasionally.
Are they still around?
Nope.
Not here to tell the tale. Rip.
It's a fact.
I hate it.
She does not like rules.
The idea that nobody can tell me what I can and can't do. I can choose to follow your request if you give it to me in a polite way.
That's an interesting point just about like the words we choose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you shouldn't do that, or I would prefer that you don't do that.
Correct.
Or it would be more polite to not do that.
Right. That's a good way to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that I spend a lot of time on is really, really auditing the words that I use with myself and with other people. I try not to ever use should, shouldn't, can't. What else? Anytime that I say that that Mark says one of those, he looks at me and he goes, I know, because I will like self-filter whatever he's saying to not include those words.
So he knows that he just broke one of your rules.
Snap.
Excuse me, preferences.
I would prefer that you
yes.
you know,
mm-hmm.
not kill people.
Mm-hmm. one of the...
Or you will go to prison forever.
Exactly. Just tell me what you can't want me to do and what the consequence could be. Have a choice on that. Yeah. Don't tell me I can and can't do anything. Okay, anybody else have anything they need to vent out so they can feel, you know, refreshed and weight lifted off of them to be able to go into next week going strong?
I'm sure I have many things.
Probably will hit like stop on this recording. I'll be like, oh, there's 6 million things I forgot to say that really bother me, annoy me. But honestly, it's like
non-adherence to rules right. is one of them.
Yes.
I don't let things bother me for too long. Like, I'll let them bother me for a little bit, but then I'll just be like, eh. Mm-hmm. I don't want to waste any time worrying about that.
What I see a quote the other day that said, if it won't make a difference in 5 years, don't let it bother you for more than 5 minutes. I like that.
That's good perspective.
I'd have to ponder that one.
The math. You just have to math it out a little bit.
Nope.
I can think of exceptions, but yes, uh-huh. I agree in general.
Okay. Well, if nobody has anything else to vent about, I say we call it a good day. Yeah. What do you say?
I think it's good.
Thomas?
Thomas, deep in thought.
I don't know.
Just thinking about stuff.
Okay.
He's got his emo face on.
Is that old Nemo? Old Nemo?
Old Nemo.
He's got his, he's got his Nemo face on, like...
Then let's close out the episode by each saying one thing that we love that makes us very happy, and then we will call the close it up, okay?
I like that idea.
So, Derek, will you go? Are you prepared?
I am prepared.
Okay, please go first.
My friends. I love my friends. They make me the happiest in the world. Every time you're down, they bring you back up.
I love it.
Yay.
Okay, I'll go next. One of my very favorite things makes me most happy is pairing snacks together. Okay. So like I will plan ahead of time. If I know the next morning that I'm going to be going to this coffee shop, I will bring a specific bar or a specific, candy or I will plan the pastry that I will choose to pair with my coffee. Mm. So this snack pairing, I plan it, I enjoy it, I document it, I Instagram story it, I can enjoy it later. It makes my life
wonderful,
worth living.
Can I have a redo on mine?
Yes.
Mine was really deep. I thought we were like going super deep, but then we're doing snacks. I may not come out of this barn alive. Mm-hmm. Organizing things. I love organizing things. Mm. I love taking messy stuff, tidying.
Been watching Tidy Up?
No, that show scares me because I feel like it's going to, like, plunge me.
Is that the thing with the lady that everyone keeps referencing Marie that Kondo? I have no context for? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's going to plunge me just so far deep into, like, organizing things. You're never going to get me out of it. But I love, like, tidying up.
That's a good one.
So I detailed cars for 10 years. I have a car detailing business.
So you
had
to enjoy that or else you would have gone crazy.
But, like just the cleaning and just, like, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mark?
I like... jelly beans. There's a particular type of jelly bean.
Oh, I want to try to guess.
1, 2, 3.
Juicy watermelon. Pear. It's not watermelon. It's juicy pear.
Juicy pear.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm not a hot buttered popcorn guy.
Oh, man, I love hot buttered popcorn jelly beans, though.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Those are evil.
Okay.
Black licorice.
Now we have accidentally found my least favorite thing in the whole world, which is popcorn. Popcorn and the smell of popcorn, I cannot handle it.
You're kidding.
I cannot handle it. My poor wife, like has to wait until I leave the house before she makes popcorn because I hate it so much.
We're over that segment.
Okay.
We're in the joy segment.
I'm putting a rule down.
Dang it!
Rules.
We're going to rage on you. You're supposed to be full of joy.
Anyways.
So, juicy pear.
Juicy pear.
Tom, right. You got to close it up for us. What do you subjective. Love?
Well, Valentine's Day. I love my wife.
Oh, my
God! I'm swinging it back in the direction of Derek's original thing. No, the Kickstarter is over.
We just lost all the listeners.
I
that's have wonderful. Not
basically spent time with my family in 4 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I am ready to swing hard back in that direction.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely. Wonderful.
Dana is our number one supporter.
She is pretty phenomenal.
That is definitely
not gonna
true.
Lie. And his kids, adorable off the charts.
Oh my goodness.
Like it's
I'm just on the live stream. I just can't.
It's
just,
painful.
They've got so much personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my favorite people really are them and Derek at this point.
All right. So that's it for today. We're going to call it a day. Thank you so much for sitting and hanging out with us for a little while.
The decompression episode where we talk about nothing.
This is where we're completely exhausted. Yeah.
And thanks to everybody who's listening. Like, thanks for your patience. How long are we at right now?
I don't know.
Nine hours.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Derek and I have our own cars we get to drive away in. Tom, I apologize. You're with Mark.
That's okay. We'll go as fast as possible.
Okay, going fast on country roads is fun.
Okay.
If you want to hear actual topics from us, please submit them.
Yeah.
Or else we're just going to gather on a mic and just talk.
And is there a specific place we're requesting them right now?
Emailing groundcontrol@orangenebula.com is good.
The subject podcast ideas would be helpful because there's a lot of emails coming through right now.
We probably put something up on the website too. We could put a little
submission form.
Okay.
But you can also probably tweet us and slide into our DMs. It's probably cool too.
So as always,
Instagram.
Yeah.
As always, orangenebula.com is the hub. We'll be sending out our email newsletters from there. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram with our handle @orangenebula. And we'll be back here next week in the barn. Another episode for you all, okay?
We're not quite done yet.
They can't see us.
But we're dancing and we look great.
They did look great. But their imagination.
It's amazing that you got upside down that quickly.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for stopping by and hanging out with us. We love you. We are grateful for you. We hope you have a great day. Go out and make something cool.
You're in my top 8.
Oh, man. Okay.
I got
something real sad I want to talk about. Huh? Real sad. What? Nearly made me cry the other day.
What?
Oh, no.
So, NASA tweeted out
because
the Opportunity rover, they lost contact like in June, and they've been like trying like 187 times to contact it.
Opportunity's lost.
And then they tweeted this out. One of the leaders of this, Jacob Margolis of KPCC in Southern California, and he said in a tweet that its final transmission was the digital equivalent of "my battery is low and it's getting dark." And so the day before Valentine's Day, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day.
They tweet this out, and now I'm just really worried about a sad Mars rover that's, you know, how many billions of miles away that's just like dying alone.
Robots don't have feelings.
This one does.
You think so?
I mean, look at WALL-E.
The darkness.
I can put feelings in things.
Closing in.
And then there's just an outpouring of memes, and then each one is just a slow descent into sadness over an inanimate object.
But what you don't know is the rest of the story, which is in like 200 years, we're going to be on Mars, and we will resurrect that thing, and it'll be living long after we're dead.
There is a
200 years, we're going to find it, and it's
colonized
like,
Mars already.
Yeah, it has some underground city that it's built, and we have to go to war with it.
No.
Anywho, that made me real sad. But, like, it's a happy sad. Like, I mean, like, he did a lot of cool stuff.